Psalm 55, okay. I'm glad people know what they're doing. This day we're going to talk about being kept by God's power. And I think that somebody in this room can relate to that, being kept by God's power. We're being sustained every moment by God. And Psalm 55, verse 22, kept by his power. King James Version says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. You see, when we cast our care, our burdens on the Lord, then he can sustain you. But if you keep worrying about it, he doesn't have them. You still have them. As long as you're going to worry about it, then he can't do very much with it unless you give it to him. Just cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, here we see the word again, casting. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Would you please put that up in the Amplified Bible, Scripture, 1 Peter 5, 7. I want us to really be understanding about this verse, if you put that on as the Amplified Bible. Notice it says, casting all your cares. And it says, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns, every single moment. It says, once and for all. And the reason why people have to do it over again is because they keep taking it back. You know, they pray, this Lord, take this away from me. And then they start talking like he never had it. They come out of their prayer and say, I hope it's all, it's going to work out, And they start wringing their hands . Well, you still have it, apparently. Your behavior, we talk about in Bible school, we teach on Bible school, faith has two expressions. First expression is your words, what you say. The second expression is how you behave, how you act. Your actions reveal what your faith is like. It says in there, once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. So God is watching over you right now. He's watching over everything about your life. That is, if you've done this, if you cast your care upon God. Now, God knows everything about everybody, but he can't do anything in your life unless you do something with your life in relationship to him. So we have to, the thing about it, sometimes thoughts will always come to you. Here's what I heard somebody said, the birds fly over your head and, But, you can't help that if the birds fly over your head. You have no control over it. Like thoughts come to your mind from the evil one. He has access to your mind. Apparently, that's what the scripture tells us, that he has access to speak to your mind in your soul realm. But it's up to you to reject that or to accept it. And when you speak a thought, you begin to plant the thought. A thought never spoken dies. So you must not speak what negativity you hear in your mind. Don't echo that. Don't repeat it. You should say this whenever an evil thought comes to you. You say, no. You say it out loud to yourself. So, no, I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. And quote a scripture. So you're fighting back. We could actually close the service right now and say, thank God. It's the service. It's wonderful. How many people believe that right now? They say, oh, this is wonderful. You just go home right now. What does it mean to cast your burdens? Well, what are burdens? Burdens means all the heaviness that you have in your life, all the accumulation of all the cares and worries and anxieties that come on your life. Burdens are mental stresses and strains. Scientists tell us that our mental health is related to our physical well-being. fact, scientists tell us that if you have enough anxiety over a long period of time, you can develop cancer. Not only from smoking, you should blame smoking for everything. You're taking a bad rap. But it does. And some people, well, I know, my neighbor, he's 85, he smoked all his life, nothing happened to him. Well, thank God nothing happened to him, but he probably can't even move around. Imagine if he didn't smoke, how good he would be. He'd probably be playing first string on football team. How if he's that strong? So it's related. You know, your spirit, soul, and body, you as a person are spirit, soul, and body, and one part gets affected, the other part is affected too. Jesus said to his disciples during one of his teaching times, he said, come unto me, everyone that is full of burdens, and I'll give you even more. No, he didn't say, I'll give you rest. God wants to give you rest. The Bible says that we must cast all our burdens upon the Lord, not just part of it. Not just the easy ones. Let's go to Matthew 11:29 here, New King James Version. It's stated here by the Lord Jesus Christ to himself, to his believers, his followers, or we could say to the church now. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You know, in those days, they understood what yoke means. You know, yoke in the Old Testament means that, you know, when you're yoked up with somebody, you're hooked up with them, and it means that they're teaching you. It means you're under their submission to their teaching. In the Old Testament, that's what it meant, yoke, that you're hooked up with the teacher and that you're submitting to him for the teaching of the Word of God. He said, "Take my yoke or my teachings upon you." And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. The soul part of man is what we have to deal with every single day. The soul part of man is our thinking, our feeling mainly. So we deal with thoughts. We deal with imaginations. And so we have to take those imaginations and submit them unto God. That's why it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, or 4 and 5 there, it says that we bring every thought that comes to our mind in submission to God. We pull down these imaginations. He says our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these things, right? Pulling down arguments, pulling down these thoughts that are warring against your soul. That we're going to weigh you down. And you get enough of these accumulated thoughts over the period of time, it starts to weigh you down, starts affecting your thinking and the way you talk and the way you behave, and it starts affecting your physical body, and then sickness will enter into a person's life. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Well, if you want the rest that he's talking about in relief, we must take our cares to God, and by faith, give it to him and leave it there. Give it to him for him to solve. And every time you think about it, say, thank God, I put that to you, Lord. You're taking care of it. I want to thank you right now that you're solving it right now. Amen. Lift your hand and say, thank God. Thank God. I cast every care upon the Lord, every worry, every concern upon him right now. He's got them. I don't have them. He's working on it right now. Father, I want to thank you that it's being done, solved right now in the name of Jesus. Amen? So he's doing it right now. Angels are going to work right now. Hallelujah. That's what's happening when you do that. So some people have a habit of praying, of taking their cares. You know, there's a prayer that we teach around here, we teach about 11 kinds of prayers. We said 11 kinds because, some of them are, we kind of split them up a little bit because, say for instance, binding and loosing. There's a prayer called binding and loosing. And we kind of split that up. Just, we're trying to be scientific about it. So we teach one prayer called casting your cares upon the Lord, or we call it the stress buster prayer. The stress buster prayer is a stress relieving prayer. And so we learned that prayer around here, some of us a little bit more than others, because we need to do that. Some people have more worries than other people. That's why it's easier to go live on the street. You don't worry about nothing. You can just live wherever you can find your place to sleep, park yourself there, and just sleep under there. Some people that's what they decide to do with life. I'm getting out of this rat race, they call it, and go to another rat race. And live like a real rat. Amen. And so, we teach this prayer about casting your cares upon the Lord. We teach people how to do that. And so, if I was following you all day long and watching what you say, what you do every time you meet somebody, how are you doing? Well, let me tell you, last night. And then say, okay, see you later. Okay, bye. And somebody calls you. Hi, how are you doing, Stella? How you doing? Well, seems to be getting better or worse sometimes, but it's better now, but it's a little bit worse sometimes. Well, you got to learn how to talk right. Even if everything's going wrong, you should say, thank God, the Lord's working on it. Yeah, I do have some problems here, but you know what? Thank God. God's working on it right now. Start talking positive. Isn't that wonderful? Some people say, that's wonderful. Thank God. That's just a church service thing, And then, sometimes people, they shout up and down and praise and worship. They're just the loudest ones. Woo-hoo-hoo! Woo! You get out of the service, the devil's there. Oh, and you get all worried again. Seems like God is huge in the church service. When you get out of service, he's just a little small little fellow. Anyway, notice that's what I learned. So God tells us what to do with every one of our burdens in more than one place in the Bible. One more than one scripture, like the one we just read here in Psalm 55. Cast all your burdens. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him. And then we see Matthew 11:28. He says, come unto me and says, give him your burdens. His burden is, his yoke is easy, burden is light. So over here in Philippians 4:6, here we see the Spirit of God again speaking. When Paul is writing, it's the Holy Ghost writing. It's God speaking to us. The Bible says that Scripture is God breathing to man his thoughts. I went to the hospital this week and they wanted to test my heart for certain things. They just wondered why my heart is so strong. And how wonderful my heart is. They say, your heart is wonderful. It beats wonderful. They check in my heart. They want to check for everything. I'm glad they want to do that. And I'm sitting there. I went to, they told me, you can't do this. You can't do that. You have to. They took over my life for so many days. They said, you can't eat this. You can't eat that. And I said, you can't even drink tea, decaf tea. You can't eat so they want to do all this test on me, see? So I walk in there. I got up early morning and I went to the hospital. I went into this place. It's a cardiac division of this, where that is in the hospital. I went in there, and everybody's in there so happy. They're getting tests like grade 6 students or something. Just happy, all getting tests for the heart. So I went in there, and one lady said, hey. He said to the other, listen, this guy here is a famous guy. And he'll pray for all of us. I'm glad he's here today. So I didn't really make anything of it. I just kind of, you know, pretend I didn't hear them. Okay, so let's get him to pray for us, you know. So he started talking to us, you know. Anyway, and this one fellow, this lady started witnessing to this other guy. And the guy said, well, I don't believe the Bible. It's a bunch of men wrote it over a period of time. You can't really believe that. It's all a bunch of hogwash. It's all myths, you know. So I'm teaching theology. I'm thinking, maybe this is a good place for me to bring out my theological explanations about why we can believe God and trust God, you know. But I said, I better leave it alone. It's not my fight. God can defend himself. Amen. So, you know, people have been trying to dispute the Word of God for many, many years. They've never done it. The Bible is still best-selling book in the whole wide world. Amen? Glory to God. So anyway, it was a funny situation. Thank God for you know, our health situations. You know, there's some places you don't have that kind of thing. You can't just walk in the hospital. It'll cost you $1 million to get out of there. Amen? You might want to be dead after you come out of there. You can't pay it back. Philippians 4:6 says, do not fret. This is the Amplified Classical Edition. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite request with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. That's got to be a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of faith. Just thank God you heard me. Thank God, you know, after you cast your care upon it, thank God that you're working on it right now. I want to thank you, God. This is not going to be a long time for this to happen. Oh, Father, I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue to make your wants known to God. And no, we continue to do that. But that's not in the, you know, we have to, whatever comes our way, the next problem, that's what it talks about, continue to tell God. Whatever comes next, so problem, just continue to throw it on God. Don't let it build up. Don't wait till it gets hard and heavy. That when the people saw you and you look like, you know, a couple of times this week, some people said, you look kind of, are you tired or something? I just want to slap them. I said, I feel fine. Do I have to smile all day long? Amen? Exactly, so they said, yeah. You know, besides, I have a tooth missing. I don't want to smile all the time. They say, you look like a pumpkin at Christmas, you know. I'm doing my best to hide that one defect I got. That's only one defect I have. Amen? Okay. So we're not supposed to carry any burden. Small or great. You can tell when people have cares and burdens, right? Just want to look at them, and you can see the strain on their faces, like someone saw in me this week. Are you okay this week? What's wrong with you? All of a sudden, if you talk to people like that, they make you like you're sick, you're half dying or something. You can see the strain, and even on your own self, if you notice yourself, you know, you're just kind of slouching, you know, you kind of how you carry yourself around. Usually have long faces. Sometimes they're hunched over. You know, what does it mean to believe God that he'll sustain you? What does it mean? What does sustain mean? It means this. Sustain. God, he says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. Hallelujah. It means to that God will support you and give you relief. Say, God will support me all the time, and he'll give me relief. It means to supply or to give sustenance to. It means to nourish you, to build you up. God wants to build you up from whatever care you got. Our text says in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. In other words, he'll lift you up. He'll support you. He'll relieve you of whatever problem you have. So, he'll support us. He'll assist you, whatever you got, whatever problem you have, he'll give you relief. He'll nourish you. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's say this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not lack. I will not lack anything. So, you know, I understand this. That Bible says that God, Jesus Christ, is your support. He is the one that's going to supply every one of your needs, spirit, soul, and body. We need to believe that. And sometimes we don't believe it strong enough. Get it into our spirit and say, no matter what happens, I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be afraid. I will not be afraid. The psalmist said that, I will not be afraid. And there's scripture verse, and somebody said 366 verses in the Bible says, do not fear, or do not be afraid. That's in the Bible. There could be more. The word declares that God will sustain us. Many people are highly developed in carrying burdens. They want to carry burdens because they feel, you know, I got, if nobody does this, I got to do it. You know, you guys don't have, Pastor Kent talked about this story last Wednesday when I came in here, and he's talking about the story. And by the way, Pastor Kent, I really enjoyed that message on peace. And he talked about, you know, Brother Hagin talked about his wife said, you know, because his wife doesn't worry. His wife said Pastor Hagin didn't worry, or Brother Hagin didn't worry. So my wife and my kids always tell me the same thing. They said, you know, you're just like Spock. Don't you have any feelings? I said, I do have feelings, but I don't always act them out. They said, okay, Mr. Spock. They talk to me, you know. My wife says that, you know, just to tease me. Because, you know, I don't act up. I don't act up. If there's a problem, I don't act up. When I was working for people, I was working for an alarm company, and we'd be selling things, and we'd make money. Like, I'd go into a house, and I'd put in the fixtures and the systems to protect the house. And I would, you know, figure out what they needed and, you know, all these things for the windows and, you know, security systems and all that. And I'd make money. I'd just make going there. I'd go to one person, one house, and that sustained me for like a month and a half for my salary for when I was going to school. When I went to Rhema, I worked as in the security business. And so my friends noticed something about me. He said, "How come you get all excited when you get all this money?" And when they go and they make, you know, $500, woo-hoo-hoo, it's like they won $1 million, you know, and they already spent it. But I'm just saying, thank God, and I just say, thank Lord, and, you know, God sustains me financially, and I thank God for it. But they notice that I don't just get all excited. And then sometimes when they get, you know, on the other hand, when they don't get any money, they get, I guess we're going to have to quit Rhema. You know? No, you just act the same way like you did. If you didn't have it, if I didn't have any, sell anything for a month, I'm sure I just, when the next jobs, I'm going to get 3 months worth of money right there. Woo! Yeah. Amen. Don't worry about it. So if God didn't tell me to do something, I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do this. If God didn't say do it, I'm not doing it. I don't have to take unnecessary strain on my life. Because I need to take care of things. I got to take care of this machine. I have to be around here. If nobody does it, I'm not going to do it. Okay. So, cast your care, all your worry. You have to stop thoughts from entering your mind. You got to stop them when they start landing on you. So, as they land on your mind, you say, nope, I do not take that thought. I resist that thought. Devil, I resist this fear. I know you said I'm going to die. You said that you're killing me right now. No, I don't believe it. I believe this. I believe with long life, so God satisfies me. I believe that by his stripes I am healed. He said, oh, but look at your body. Look how you feel. I said, I'm not talking about how I feel. I'm talking about what the Bible says. I'm saying what the Word of God's saying to me. He said, oh, you're lying about it. You're hurting. I said, I'm not talking about how I feel. I'm talking about what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, by His stripes I am healed. I'm not going to be healed. I'm not even trying to get healed. I'm already healed. According to the Word of God, I'm healed right now in the name of Jesus. And then I'm feeling so sick. You know, you have to do it. You got to do it. The Bible says we resist the devil by faith. James 4:7 says, you know, resist the devil. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. And, we don't wait for the devil actually to show up. We imagine how the devil looks like. I know when I was a kid, we used to, the devil, they'd make him like he's half man, half horse, with a big hoofs on. He kind of like has a body of a man, and his head looks like a horse or something, or some kind of steer with horns on. Nobody's reacting to anything. Like I'm the only one. Maybe I had this, but we dreamt about this. The devil had a pitchfork. My dad told me that they saw a man, a half horse, half man. Well, that's when he was drinking whiskey. And he came to himself. You know, there's a story in the Bible by the name, a guy by the name of Jacob. Jacob, the Bible says in Genesis 28, the Bible says, unveils the story of the account of Jacob and Esau. Jacob stole Esau's birthright. He tricked him. And then Esau wanted to kill him after. You know, Jacob, the Bible says, Genesis 28, 18 to 22. Jacob rose early in the morning and he took a stone that he had put out for his pillow and set it for a pillow. He poured oil on top of it and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me, will keep me all this way that I go, I will give him bread, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, that I come into again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that I have, all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee a tenth unto thee. His father, his grandfather were all tithers. And they did it by faith. He said, God, I'm going to give you this. This tithe tells me I'm living by faith, and I'm giving this, I'm believing that you will sustain me. I'm casting all my care upon God, everything that I have, and we're just going to give it to God. Some of you guys need to learn how to do this. It's not a law. The devil has put the people's mind that this is a law. It's not a law. It's by faith. You could pray if you want to. You don't have to pray. God's not going to kill you if you don't pray. It's there to do it if you don't do it. It's people who pray are better off than people who don't pray. So when you tithe, you're better off than someone who doesn't. You're not going to be worried about finance because you gave it to God. God says, if you're going to be hooked up with me, this is how we're going to do it. I want to take care of you. I want to watch over you. And so this is a faith thing. And so this man, Jacob, that's what he did. He said, Lord, if you do all these things, he's talking to God. If you do this, if you do that, we do that to God, right? God, if you give me this, you give it, I'm going to give you everything. No, God owns everything. He owns even the breath you're breathing out of your nostrils right now. God owns everything. Bible talks about that God owns the very breath that you make. You're breathing right now. When you breathe in, you should say, thank God I have breath. He gave it to us. His dad, as I mentioned, was a tither, and his grandfather and so on. And he began to do this. He made a plan. He said, this is what I'm going to do. And here's 48, chapter 48, 15 to 16. And he blessed Joseph. God said, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God which fed me all this day long. The Bible says, now, he's praying, right? He says, the God which fed me all my life unto this day. See, God had sustained this man all his life. Jacob's story is the story of how God sustained someone all their life. Ever since you were born, God has sustained you. Some of you would have been dead by now. And some of you don't know that you could have been dead, and God sustained you. You're going to find out when you get to heaven how God actually sustained you when you didn't even know it. So he's talking about it there. He's rehearsing the story. He said, this God, he kept me all my life. From the time you're born till old age, God promises you, I'm going to keep you. God kept Jacob from in many ways. He protected him from every evil that would have come on his life. He helped him and prospered him even when his enemies was against him. He prospered him and kept him alive from diseases, from accidents, and from all kinds of peril. You know, he didn't keep these burdens. He said, God's going to be my God. The devil will always try to tell you that you're not going to make it. He always tells you, I'm going to kill you. I'm somewhere. I didn't succeed this time, but next time I'm going to get you. Yeah, you got the money this time, but next time you're not going to make it. He always tells you that. And so people get scared. Don't get scared. Just say, thank God. He did it once. It's like David said, you know, God helped me with the lion and the bear. He'll help me again. He'll do it again, and he'll do it again and again and again. If we give God the glory, if we give God all the praise, we cast our care upon him, he's going to take care of us. Amen. Psalm 91 is a perfect example for you and me to rehearse and to read, to memorize how many ways God will sustain you. Let's look at this for a second, and we'll close up here in about 10 minutes. God sustained you in so many ways. The devil wants you to see all negativity in your life. He wants you to see the disasters that have come upon your life. He wants you to see the evil in this world. You need to see the good, even when there's nothing much to see. Psalm 91, there's 16 verses here. Let's go very quickly. He that dwelleth in secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we want to be, in the secret place. Now listen to me. You don't have to pray 16 hours to get into the secret place. It's not just for a special few intercessors to pray to get into the secret place. And so, you will abide, if you dwell, live there in the secret place, not just visit there, you living there, of the Most High God, El Elyon, the Most High God. That's the highest you could ever get. He's the Almighty God. You will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice this. Next verse. I will say. Everybody say, I will say.
I will say.
Say,
I
will say. Now, here's what you're going to say. How many people know that faith is always expressed? The way you release your faith is by saying something. The God kind of faith is when you say something and you start acting like it's so. You say it, and you act like it's true. Why? Because things start changing in a way? Because you start feeling better? No, because the Bible said it. You're trusting in the Bible, the Word of God. He says, I will say of the Lord. What is he going to say? He is my refuge. Everybody say, God is my refuge. Then he says this, and my fortress. And my God, in him will I trust. In him will I trust. When you trust in him, you're trusting his word, because his word and him are the same thing. You're trusting in the word. You're trusting in him. If you trust God, if you say, I trust God, show me the scripture. Show me. Show me. Because the devil is going to come and push you around, then you're going to have, you have to have something to stand on. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, that the Bible says that faith is the substance. What does it mean? It's the ground that you stand on when you're believing God for something. You have to stand on the Word of God. When you don't see any answers, you don't feel any answers. The doctor says you're the negative report against you. You're looking, your body's telling you you're not getting better. You're not getting better, you're getting worse. So you're standing on the Word of God. You're standing on God's Word. Thank God for His Word. You got nothing else to stand on. You stand on the Word. Is this helping somebody? Yeah. I want to show you something, help you. Stay here a little bit. Okay. Surely, somebody said, quit calling me Shirley. Surely He shall deliver thee. Say, God will deliver me. That's why I like, that's why I like the scripture over in Colossians 1 and 13. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. That's all evil. He has delivered. God has already planned. He's made a plan already to deliver. As far as He's concerned, He's already done and He's delivered me. He's delivered me. I walk around and say, He's delivered me. He's delivered me. And all of a sudden, I was just a little bit low. All of a sudden, I'm getting higher. Oh, He's delivered me. And all of a sudden, I'm kicking down doors saying, where's the devil? He's delivered me. Right? Then, you get a little smart after you get, when you get some word in you. Amen? You get tough after. Yeah. You know that? Yeah. It's like, your big brother's with you. Where's that guy? Where's that little Johnny? Okay, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowl and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. You know, there's pestilence everywhere. You go to the gym, there's pestilence. You go to a hospital, there's pestilence. You go to Timmy's, there's pestilence there. Everywhere. It's in the air right now. Pestilence everywhere. But God's keeping you. Amen? Yeah. Look under the mattress. There's pestilence in there. And God's keeping you. Eating some food and they cooked it all right, but there's pestilence in there. I know some of you don't like that, but that's the truth. They're eating it on your skin right now. Boogeyman. I'm glad you guys have a sense of humor. This church has a sense of humor. It has me for a pastor. Anybody that comes here, you got to be like, that pastor has a sense of humor. He laughs at everything. Even when he's sick, he's laughing. He's got no money, he's flat broke, he's laughing away. Amen. I learned that from my dad, Kennedy Hagin. He told us. He showed us the way. How to act. Now, a thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only you say, oh, that guy has a flu, he has a flu, but it's not coming near me.
That's right.
You know what? You have to hit it right off the bat, because once it gets you, you're going to suffer a little bit. You got to fight back right away. I remember this bully used to fight me every day. And finally, I just thought about it. If he comes to me, I'm going to hit him so hard. And he came to me. I hit him so hard, and he started crying. I said, oh, this works. And little fella, I said, little fella, how many goals you scored? I heard he's racking up a scoreboard over there. You notice the little fella? What's his name again? Timmy. Benny, yeah, I told him, you better start fighting. His mama didn't want to hear that. I said, you listen to me. Don't take anything from anybody. This is the pastor talking to this kid. I remember when little Joe, we call him Baby Joe. We still call him Baby Joe. And he'd be carrying him like this. I showed him how to fight it. Come on. And every time he saw somebody, he'd go, chick. They said, don't teach him that. So, you know, one day Joe comes in my office, walks on, he comes walking down the hall. He sits in front of me, crosses his legs. He starts thinking, you know what? He says to me, can I be honest with you? This is Joe talking to me. Baby Joe. Can I be honest? He said, you look like a movie star. And he says to me, is there any candy in there? I said, yeah, Joe, I got some candy. I suppose you want some. Praise God. Let me just close with the last. He said, with long life will I satisfy him. I want to show you something here. Listen, we want to go over these verses of Scripture later on. But, you know, the last verse, with long life will he satisfy me. That's because he's been saved from all these things. I want you to know that God saved you from a lot of things, but you can dwell in the secret place of the Most High by saying it. By saying this, by repeating this, saying, this is what I have. This is what God's done for me. This is what God's doing for me right now. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. I will say of the Lord, amen. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him will I trust. Praise God. Everybody say, God is good. And his mercy endures forever. Say, his mercies are new every day. Thank God. I am delivered. Say, I am healed. I am prospered. I'm at peace. I have the joy of the Lord. This is going to be the best year coming up. Better year than last year. Amen. There's a young man here that's on life support. We want to pray for. Doctors can't find what's wrong from all the tests that came in, but, you know, God knows what's wrong with this young man. We're going to plead the mercy of God. God's mercy. There's a story in the Bible. The Israelites came to a place called Moriah, and they were complaining about their life. You know, sometimes we complain about life. We don't know how much God has already done for us. God told Moses, get a tree, put it in the water. And he says, the waters were poisonous. He said, put that tree in the water, and the water will be sweet. God changed the chemistry of the poisonous water in a moment of time. He changed that tree into a healing tree. Put that tree in the water, and it changed the biological chemistry of all that. You know, in a moment of time, God can change your body in a moment of time. He created your body. The Bible says, who is the one that created the eye? Who is the one that created the mind? Who is the one that created the mouth? I did. And I can make you, I can change your body at any time. Well, God can change that. And he wants us to believe him no matter what's going on in our lives. We trust him. I'll say, God, you're my refuge and you're my strength. You're my life, God. You said in your word that you come to give life, to give me the God kind of life, the quality of life that you have, I'm having right now in the name of Jesus. Pastors, wives, come on over here. We're going to pray for this young man. God knows where he is. Let's lay hands on this. You can turn around this way if you want. It works by, if we just go to get around by faith. Is anybody else here that's a pastor? Nobody else wants to be one? In the name of Jesus. How many believe that God can change your life? His mercy endures forever. And so, Father, we plead for your mercy right now. You said when a righteous man lives a righteous life, that you can pray And even make the people who aren't living righteous, they'll be saved. That's what you said in the book of Job. I don't know. I don't care what he's been living, what he lived like, but I'm asking for God's mercy upon him right now. To spare his life, that his life will be changed and turned around right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of death, sickness and disease. I command him to live and not die. I command him to be able to hear and hear, see the voice of God. See God working. So we pray as we lay this cloth upon him. Not only that, but we don't wait for the cloth to get there. We're praying right now that he'll be healed by faith. And whoever brought this has faith that we can pray. And so we come in line with them to believe. You said, if two shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of them, my Father which is in heaven. So thank you, Lord, that you've done it. You've done it. We're not looking for any sign. We just say, according to your word, Lord, say it and be done unto me. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes he's healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank God. Lord, we want to thank you for this service this day. For people to be lifted up, to be cared for. That all of your people were the sheep of your pasture. Lord, so we yield our whole spirit and body to you. Individually and as a church. We say, Lord, that your will be done. We give you our lives. We consecrate and dedicate our lives to you again today. You say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say and be, or wherever you want me to go, I'm going to do it. Whatever you want me to stop doing, I'll stop doing it right now. With your help, I'll overcome by the grace of God. And so we bless every certain person, everyone here that has not heard about Jesus or hasn't allowed Jesus to come into their lives. They're going to do it right now. They can say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. They'll say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. I believe, God, that you sent Jesus to die for me. And so right now I confess him to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the Savior of the world. Save me from my sin. Save me from this life. Give me new life. Thank you for sustaining me and keeping me for the rest of my life until old age, until I see you. Glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer in this room,